We're still in Easter season, but beginning with the gospel today, the church has us sort of begin subtly to shift our thinking from the event of the resurrection and looking toward the ascension of our Lord, his triumphant return to the right hand of God, where he will rule and reign until the close of the age. And in the gospel today, we have the beginning of our Lord's farewell address, as it were, to his troops. And it's drawn from the teaching just before the Last Supper. And doubtless, this teaching would have taken on a more immediate meaning in the days leading up to his return to the Father. And I can imagine that the disciples would have been quite upset as Christ prepared to lead them. So good old Thomas again blurts out, "What about us? What will become of us? What are we supposed to do?" And our Lord answers, in effect, "You know very well what you're supposed to do. You've been watching me for 3 years. Do what I've done." And he adds a few lines later, "I assure you, if you have faith in me, you will be able to do the things I have done and even far greater things." Just think about that for a moment. I think perhaps nowhere is our human activity raised to a higher level of dignity than in that bold promise. Our lives, the things that we do, if done with faith, if our spirit is right, will be as great and effective as the work of Christ. In fact, it will be the work of Christ. We also need to remember that every life, every single life, motivated by faith, no matter how humble, even if fruitless in the eyes of the world, is a sacrifice offered to God, a sacrifice of infinite value in the eyes of God, and a sacrifice which aids in drawing all mankind closer to salvation. You know, the keenest mind, the most dedicated activist, the most eloquent of prophets is really no greater, no more valuable than the contribution made by the simplest, the least important, and the least influential among us. Jesus speaks of many dwelling places in his Father's house, places that are different, not greater or lesser, just different. And what matters ultimately, what makes the difference between a life that is successful and valuable and a life that is wasted, is not its splendor, not its excitement, not its achievements, not its standards in the eyes of the world, but simply its Christian quality. There are no meaningless lives. There are no meaningless acts. There are only people who refuse to give meaning to their life, or better still, who refuse to recognize the meaning that God has given to them. And that results in an endless circle of monotony and bitterness and resentment. And that is very, very sad. The first step to a genuine faith in the hereafter is really a faith in the here. Now, if you'll permit me a little digression, you've doubtless heard that the rapture was predicted for yesterday. A mere 3% of the world's population, according to the fellow that was advocating this, which of course includes him, would be taken up to heaven. And we're all still here. And without a doubt, there's already been an announcement on the radio that a miscalculation was made, and a new financial appeal for billboards has probably begun as well. Now, we sort of inwardly laugh at that, but this recent idea of a rapture, and I say recent because it's only about 100 years old, does in fact speak to the monotony and, for many people, the pointlessness of modern life. I mean, in the face of that, is it any wonder that this escapist fantasy has gained some traction? Instead of embracing the cross, as Jesus tells us we must, as he promises we will, many will find it more attractive to believe that Jesus will come and take the true Christians out of this naughty world to avoid shame and suffering. That is not the gospel. Instead of seeing salvation history as the story of God refusing to give up and abandon the world, many will understandably long to be snatched out of the created order, out of reality, and into some completely spiritual place of peace and purity. That also is not the gospel. It's a fantasy. It's the spiritual equivalent of running away to join the circus. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, God does not save you from your life. He saves you in your life. So the first step to a genuine faith in the hereafter is a faith in the here. And our Lord speaks so clearly to that. What we shall later be is already begun in who we are now. What we shall be grows out of what we are. And if there's any message that comes loud and clear through the Easter season, it's that we are even now living in eternal life. And we cannot place our faith in the goodness of God, in the creative power of his word, somewhere off in the future. That faith has to be placed in the reality in which he has placed us, in our own circumstances. You notice that little conversation with Philip. Christ urges Philip to look beneath the surface to whatever, whoever is right in front of him, because that's where the Father, in all his goodness and his power, has chosen to be. So, you know, sure enough, we will get bogged down from time to time in what might seem to be a lot of frustrating, petty, anything but sacred sorts of details. But what we do in the daily round of life is important. It is Christ's work. And in Christ's work, nothing is petty if it is done with trust and with sincere goodwill. And that's true of family life, of jobs, of schools, of parishes, of personal lives. Jesus claims to show us the way of love, the way of service, the way of persistence, the way of faith, the way of hope. And it's not so much that's where we'll find God, but rather I think that is where God will find us. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.